Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor, namely how to build honor in your life. We covered the first five ways or five steps of building honor in the last session, and we're going to continue in this session with the sixth way to build honor. But before we start, we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing by your spirit. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you have called us and for such a time as this to be a part of this school of ministry, Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I pray for each and every student, Lord God, that their lives have been enriched and blessed, Lord God, to the fullest, Lord God. And I thank you right now, Lord God, for our apostle, founder of Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Lord God, for being the visionary and the one who's carrying the agenda of God, and we're following very close behind him. And Lord, as always, I thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, for the Holy Spirit showing up in my class, Lord, because if not, I'd fall flat on my face. I'm leaning and depending totally upon him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, as I stated, we're going to continue on teaching on how to build honor with the sixth way to build honor, which is observing protocol and the law, amen, honoring all men, amen. The word protocol is a system of rules explaining correct procedures to be followed in a formal situation or formal setting. We must follow spiritual protocol. It's sort of like a code of conduct, amen. All right, 1 Peter 2:17 says, love the brethren, the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Read it again. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The sixth way to build honor is by observing protocols and the law, honoring all men. That means you have to understand where and how the gifts in men are placed in society, in government, and especially in our world of ministry. Praise God. When you know who God has gifted, who we show them honor or show honor to those gifts. This is observing protocol. Then he says, honor the king. That is honoring the laws of the land that's been set up and established by the king or the president or whomever. You know, and that's so very, very important. You know, the Bible even says in Timothy that, you know, we're to obey them who have the rule over us, and we need to pray for our spiritual leaders. Amen? All right. When you begin to honor and show proper protocol, then the scripture says honor will be given you. So any person that does not honor all men cannot reap the benefits of honor and blessings. It's so very important to honor all men, especially men in rank and men in authority. As I stated in one of our lessons earlier, how can I say this? Not everybody has the same position. Not everybody is equal in rank. You know, you must know the ranks, know who has authority, know who God has gifted, you know who the apostles are in your region, the prophets are in your region, and the evangelists are in your region. And honor and respect them, giving honor to whom honor is due, that will produce honor in your life. Amen. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Okay. Since every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, when you give honor to the gift that God has placed in men, you are actually giving honor to God for blessing those individuals with the gifts that God has given them. You know, so when you honor apostolic authority, apostolic government, you are in fact honoring God, okay? Because God set them in place and put his blessing and his anointing on them. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Amen. So those people are operating in those gifts that God had given them. Always remember that the blessing always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. In order to receive properly, you must honor properly. Amen. If God calls somebody to a particular office in the fivefold ministry gifts, there is no excuse for you not to answer that call or the calling of God. And at the same time, those around that person and working with that person must honor the gift that God has placed inside of them. Amen. When a man of God enters the pulpit, and this is, when they come on the stage and they enter the pulpit, it is customary, and I don't want to even use the word customary, it is honor when you stand up as they walk in. Because you're honoring them by standing up, by recognizing and giving them the due respect of their credentials, of their name, of what God has placed in them. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we was at a local church here in the Baton Rouge area, and there was an apostle who was there to minister. And we heard about it, so we said we're gonna go and we're gonna partake of this man of God. It was Apostle T.L. Osborne. He since then has went on to be with the Lord. But when he walked in the building, my wife and I stand up. Now, this is a very prominent church in the Baton Rouge area. My wife and I, we were members there for several years before we joined Word of Life. But as we stood, I kind of looked around in the audience. Up in the balcony, nobody stood up but us. I said, don't they understand who this man is and what this man has accomplished for the kingdom of God? And the least you can do is to stand up. But see, when you're not taught properly, you can't do properly. You know, if I would have stayed there at that ministry, I would have sat down just like everybody else and not stood up. But because of my training here at Word of Life Christian Center, I know to give honor to whom honor is due. And I also know that by giving honor to whom honor is due, honor is also given you. Amen? All right. Let's move on. Because actually what I'm explaining to you is actually spiritual protocol. You never want to, number one, go before a man of God empty-handed or without some form of gift. Yes, and you must remember the gift and the man are one. You can't separate the gift from the man. The gift and the man are one. Amen. You can't honor the gift without honoring the man. Amen. I remember we was in Las Vegas. My wife was there for a meeting, and I went there with her. And found out that a man of God was in the city ministering at a local church. And I was excited because while we were in Las Vegas, while my wife was at her meetings during the day, I wouldn't even leave the hotel because there was just too much chaos going on around the streets. You know, and I'm not going to get into that. But and so once I found out that this minister who I was very familiar with was there ministering, I located the church and went to the church. I never forget that. And as he was ministering, I went up and I sold into him. And he received it. You know, everybody kind of looked at me like, no, what is he doing? Why is he walking up sowing into this man? And then there was another man, I guess he got inspired. So he went up also. But instead of sowing money, he had a pocket knife that he valued. And he says, I just want to give you this pocket knife, you know. And so his way was sowing something monetarily, materially, you know. Anyway, let's look at Hebrews 7, 5 and 7. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he who descent to not counted for them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Verse 7 scripture says, without all contradiction, the lesser person is blessed of the better. So when you sow to the better, the lesser person gets blessed. Amen. The scripture refers to upward giving, sowing up so that the blessings can come down on your life. If you don't if you don't follow proper spiritual protocol in honoring the apostolic gift, then what's on them, which is the anointing, will not come upon you. The anointing that's on their lives will not come upon you because of your lack of honor and following protocol. Amen. Here's a spiritual principle you're going to need to know. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles take place. So submission, when you submit, it's the breeding ground for the supernatural. It calls that supernatural, when you, a breeding ground is where something can grow. When you start submitting, it's a breeding ground for the supernatural to manifest itself. And if you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. The Holy Spirit flows through us. The Holy Spirit flowing through us is all based on our willingness to yield and submit to authority. Amen. That's so true. So when the Bible says honor all men, you have to honor gifts where they are. You have to respect people in positions of rank, spiritual rank and authority. You have to understand how systems or how camps work. Not all systems are the same. Not all spiritual camps are think the same. Not all cultures and all ethnicities are the same. So you have to show honor for each culture and each person and respect those cultures and those people and their way of doing things. Amen. Even in heads of state and in, protocol of, I know the Queen of England, she's gone now, but the protocol is that when you're in front of, royalty, English royalty, or the royals, as they call them, you don't just reach your hand out to shake their hand. That's improper protocol. If they, approach you, reach their hand out, or approach you to hug you, you oblige them. But you're not to make the first move. And in each culture and ethnicity, there's a different protocol. I'm not familiar with all the different protocols, but I know you need to know when you're traveling and when you're going to a different country or in a different ethnicity, know what their protocol is and honor their protocol. I mean, even in LTMA, it's protocol to make the first tier meetings. That's a no-brainer. We have the supernatural impartation meeting that's always in January. We have the camp meeting that's always in right after the 4th of July, in July. And in November, normally the first or the second week in November, we have the prosperity revival. That's just spiritual protocol. You come to those meetings. We also have the monthly impartation calls. That's protocol. You don't miss those. And that's honoring your man of God. And in doing so, it brings honor to you. So the seventh way now to build honor is through your giving, sowing money seeds into the anointing. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. sowing a financial seed into the anointing or to anointing Saul. And the key here is anointed Saul will produce honor. It could be a financial seed. It could be a material seed where you give to somebody of higher rank or you give to somebody even of lesser rank. But you sow into the anointing. Giving always produces honor. Giving into good, fertile soil always produces honor. I want to make sure that's clear. Giving into good, fertile soil always produces honor. But upward giving, when you give up, yields the greatest results. But either way, you must hear from God in your giving. And that's so important. Always hear from God on what He wants you to do in terms of your giving. I'll never forget years ago, 10, 15 years ago, Apostle stood up at the pulpit and he said that the land across the street from the church is going to be coming up for sale. And I'm going to give, you know, people at the church an opportunity to sow into this project. And about 20, 30 seconds after that, my wife nudged me and said, come with me to the back. I need to talk to you. And so we went into the copy room and she said the Lord had instructed her that we're to give a substantial seed to the seed, to the land across the street. And she told me what it was. I buckled a little bit and I said, well, God said it, we're going to do it. So we sold that seed. I went up, told Pastor that the Lord had instructed us to sow X number of thousands into the land across the street. And we went about, you know, moving money around to get that seed in the ground. The very next day, and I stated this before, my wife goes to work, her job gets terminated. The enemy now is saying, you're going to need that money. You can't sow that money. But I said, no, that's a precious seed. You know, this is a precious seed that's going in the ground. You know, so we sowed it. And would you believe it? Before the end of the week, when they were processing my wife and some 1,300 people out of the company, the HR director came to her and told her, you know, that somebody in her department had elected to retire and they need to keep a certain amount of people in that group and that her job had been restored, just as if she had never lost a job. And I know the seed had a lot, if not everything, to do with that job being restored and a month later her getting promoted. And just, you know, God will give you wisdom beyond your years. You know, I mean, the Lord placed supernatural wisdom in my wife and I was in agreement with it. We carried it out and it produced a blessing and a harvest in our lives. Amen. Your gift will make room for you and comes back in a harvest of honor. It is important that you understand where to give and how to give. Individuals who do not know where to give and how to give never get the blessings of honor. Not all souls will produce honor. You must give to your apostolic leader and also to your pastor who is submitted to apostolic authority. We are required to give 10% of our increase and offering as God has blessed us. But there are times when God will open an opportunity to sow honor into a man of God or person that walks in honor so that the giver sower will reap a harvest of honor. And that's what happened to us. And it didn't happen just once. It happened more than once. It happened with my daughter when she was in school. And I shared that already. I won't share it again. But, you know, the Lord told us to sow into Apostle, and a decision was changed on her behalf that caused her to not only get accepted into a prestigious university, but to receive the scholarship from them. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. When you honor a spiritual father or an elder, your days will be prolonged. That means you will get a harvest of permanence and a generational harvest and generational blessing. And that's so very important. You know, when you honor with a seed, your days are prolonged. Amen. Okay, let's move on to number 8. Protecting your leader, the 8th way to build honor. Protecting your leader. And we're going to go to the book of Esther for that. Esther chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. The Bible says in verse 1 that a night that the king could not sleep, and so he asked them to bring the records and the chronicles of the nation. Somebody came to read what was written, and it was told that one of his servants named Mordecai had actually thwarted or stopped an assassination attempt against the king. And so the king saying in verse 3, what honor and dignity was done for this man for coming against this assassination attempt on my life? And they said, well, he was not honored. Here's the principle. Protecting your leader builds honor. Protecting your leader builds honor. And that's number 8. Protecting your leader will build honor. Amen. And when we say protect, protecting him physically, protecting him spiritually, you know, protecting his agenda, what he stands for. There are several ways that you can protect your leader. And I shared something earlier about somebody who was soliciting, which was against policy and against what our man of God wanted. And somebody was coming against him by coming against his principles and what he had established here at the church. And by stopping that produced honor. Amen. So the king said, and while we read that, you know, the principle is that protecting your leader will produce honor. We need the kind of ministry gifts, young gifts, and older ministry gifts around leaders that know how to protect their leaders. Protecting the apostle, protecting the first family. You know, I'll never forget at a Kenneth Hagin camp meeting years ago. This was when Apostle first ministered the topic of money coming, and the first time people actually came to the altar ever in my life as a Christian and began to put money on the altar. Well, right after that meeting, Apostle and his family went to eat at the hotel right across the street. They were in a restaurant. And I saw something that blessed me, and it stuck with me for years. His family was around him. He was back against the wall, and some of the family members was on one side, other family was on another side. So the only way to get to him, you had to get through the family members first, if that makes any sense. You just couldn't walk right up to him and speak to him, because there was three members on either side protecting him, you know. And the Lord, he just showed me, he said, look how they, the first family, are garrisoned around. I mean, because when right after you minister, you might say anything. Somebody might ask you something. You might just give them all your possessions, because you're just so under an anointing. You just, you know, you're not so much that you're out of it, but you're just, you know, a given, loving mood, spirit. But they were there to protect him. And the Lord showed me that. And it was a small, you know, wasn't nothing major, but I remember it. Amen. All right. Here's the principle I want to mention to you. Many times the reason people don't know how to protect their leaders is because they have never been taught how. As a ministry grows and starts producing fruit in people's lives, Satan will try to plant people into that ministry to bring chaos and harm and danger. The anointing on the man of God, the first family, and the ministry must be protected. Just like the Secret Service protects the president, there needs to be people assigned to protect their leader, to protect their man of God. You know, we have security, you know, really all over the church, not just the two people you see in the front, there's others. But they're there to protect the anointing, protect the leader. You know, and even monetary things can protect a leader. Our jet, the Falcon 500, that jet protects our man of God's anointing. He doesn't have to stand in line. He doesn't have to take his shoes off. He doesn't have to be pat down and have to wait, you know, get there early, you know, get crammed up in a seat, even though he probably would have been in first class, but have to wait, you know, taxi down the runway. You know, he can go right down the street to the airport and get on the plane. There's no traffic. There's no planes he's waiting on taking off. And when he tells the pilot, let's go, full throttle, and they're off in the air. You know, so that protects his anointing. And what I mean by protecting it, it just, people, he's not being harassed by people, and not necessarily intentionally, but just, you know, not knowing who he is and asking him silly questions or just whatever, he can fly in peace. Amen. That protects his anointing. This is why it is so important to pray that a hedge of protection is around your leader, the first family, and the ministry. If Satan can't get to the leader, he'll try to attack the first family or the ministry. Our prayer should be expose, reveal, remove, and replace anyone who has wrong motives against the leader, the first family, or the ministry. Some will try to come against the church with their own agenda and motive, and I've shared that already, how that has happened, amen, to try to discredit the ministry. If they do not want to receive help and continue in that sin and disobedience and don't want to get right, then they have to be put out. And I shared that illustration already. I don't have to go into that again. And in 1 Corinthians 5:1-6, there is a situation that happened in the church where fornication had taken place, and Paul judged it and said that this person needs to be put out. It says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and ye have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed shall be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body and present in the spirit, have judged already as though I was present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when ye gather together in my spirit with power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul is saying, kick him out, you know. Let him see what it feels to be outside of a covering. Let him feel what it feels like to be open prey for the devil. You know, so hopefully he might get his act together, repent, and come back so that his soul could be saved. Amen. He says, verse 6, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? One bad seed can affect the whole congregation. Sin must be handled quickly, or it can and will become contagious. Amen? And that's so very important. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to learn how to protect our leaders. There can be attempts to hurt them and destroy their ministry. Your responsibility as a church leader is to teach the people how to become a defense around their leader, because many people don't know how. You're not just an elder in the church to be an elder. You're part of the first line of defense, and that's one thing I recognize. I'm part of the first. If I see something, I'm obligated to report it. If I hear something, I'm obligated to report it, you know, because it's my job to keep my ears and to keep my eyes open. So if there's something or somebody who has ill will towards the ministry or my pastor or the first family, I am going to report it. One of my mentors, he used to use the illustration, I'm telling everything. I'm telling, you know. If you tell me, I'm telling, you know. So if you don't want apostle to know, don't tell me, because if you tell me, I'm telling. And I follow that suit very closely. All right. The ninth area of building honor is prayer, is worship and prayer. The ninth way to build honor. Psalms 149:6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth as a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathens and punishment upon the people, to bind the kings with irons and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Worship and prayer develops honor. So verse 9 says, to execute upon them judgment. This honor have all the saints. In other words, the honor of worship and prayer. Prayerful people and people that know how to worship, God will always make sure that they are honored. Platforms are created for people that pray and people that know how to worship. Platforms are created for them. And I say platform, a platform for them to be honored. Matthew 21:15-16 says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased and said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you not ever read, out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou perfected praise? So the Old Testament parallel to that is Psalms 8:2. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. So what's that telling me? When you begin to praise and worship God, it will still or stop the enemy and the avenger. You know, praise and worship. And I've shared scriptures, I've shared illustrations where people praise and worship God, and it stopped. Well, when they marched around the walls of Jericho, they praised and worshiped God, and the walls fell down. You know, and how in situations where the enemies fought against themselves and destroyed themselves, and the people of God were, you know, many days in picking up the spoils. But all they did was praise and worship. So another way to protect your leader is through prayer, praise, and worship. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise and worship sets an atmosphere where the presence of God can inhabitate. He only comes down where he is welcome. So when you welcome his presence, he comes down. And when the Holy Spirit and God comes down, they don't come down empty-handed. They come down with everything you need for whatever the situation requires. Amen? All right. The last way in building honor is understanding covering, what a covering is over you. You know, a covering. Each and every person needs a covering. You know, you need, when I say a covering, I'm a covering for my wife. I'm the head of my household. I cover her, you know. When I come to church, apostle is my covering for my family, you know. And it's so very important to understand the importance of covering and how covering will produce honor. Proverbs 31:23 says, and 20, I think goes down to 25. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her covering. So the way to produce honor is understanding your covering. Whoso covers you, whosoever covers you will develop strength and honor, for your clothing becomes clothing speaking of, which clothing speaks of cover. And it's an honor when you have somebody who's covering you, who's protecting you. Right now it's raining outside. Left my umbrella in the other car, but if I did have an umbrella, when I would leave out, I'm picking that umbrella up. It covers me and it protects me from the rain. You know, it protects me from the elements. Your man of God protects you from the elements of sin, protects you from the element of the devil and all the fiery darts that may try to come against you, okay? And you need to know who's covering you and why. It is not enough just to have a covering. You need to know why. Strength and honor are her covering, are her clothing. In other words, individuals that don't know how they are covered don't develop honor. Because you need to know, I mean, and that's honor that's on you, you know, because your man of God takes time to pray for you, to speak over your life, to speak a blessing and a covering over your life. And that's so important that we know and understand covering. Amen. Not all spiritual coverings are the same. Not all camps, spiritual camps are the same. You know, not all camps are the same. God will lead you to the brook where you can be nourished. And that's why it's so important to find your man of God. Find where God has placed you. I tell people, don't just go from pillar to post, go to this meeting, go to that meeting. No, you need to find your man of God. Find where God has placed you. Get under that covering so that covering can protect you and covering can bring you to honor. This covering has brought me to honor. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, you know, by protecting, by doing these 10 principles and doing them sometimes not even knowingly, but protecting my leader, you know, by praying for him, you know, by walking in wisdom, walking in submission and obedience, all of these things, by sowing money seed into him, all of these things have produced honor in my life and will continue to produce honor in my life as I continue to walk in those 10 steps. Amen. All right. You need to seek God for your personal spiritual covering. He, God, will lead you to your Moses, your Elijah, and once you submit to that covering, it will sustain you and you will flourish there. And that's so very important. You want to flourish in the things of God. And one way to flourish in those things of God is finding your place, finding where God has placed you and staying there. Don't just sit for a season and then leave, you know. I believe covenant connections and coverings are for life. You know, when I married my wife, it was for life. You know, there wasn't no turning back. We've been married for 42 years blissfully. You know, I cover her and this anointing covers me. Amen. And we've been blessed. And I know it's because of us walking in the wisdom of God, getting direction from God, of where we need to be, finding that place, sitting in that place, functioning in that world and in that place, serving. It's another area of producing honor. So all of these things help produce honor in your life. You know, when you combine all 10 of them, you can't help but be honored. You can't help but produce honor. You can't help but have honor and riches. Amen. This class is a class about honor. And everything we talk about has to do with how to honor properly, not to dishonor. And when we discover dishonor, we nip it at the bud and we begin to sow a seed of honor that will reverse the seed of dishonor. Amen. With that said, we're going to conclude for this session. And this probably is going to end this semester. So by the time you hear this and this teaching, the next week is going to probably be finals, first semester finals. I'm going to be pulling my test questions from the quiz questions. Namely, these last three quizzes, since they were in this side of the last exam, and maybe two or three from other questions early in the semester. You guys have a merry and a blessed Christmas. And I thank God that you're learning how to walk in and stay in honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.